See the second case of the morning, which is United States versus Aaron Perez. Mr. Willis.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Standish Willis. I'm representing Aaron Mina Perez. This is an appeal from the district court sentencing decision and enhancement that the district court imposed on Mr. Perez at sentencing. Mr. Perez pled guilty in this case, and he pled guilty pursuant to a blind plea. So all of the issues that were raised, since none of them were agreed upon in a formal plea agreement, were addressed at the sentencing. I want to address at least two of those. There were three issues that the sentencing judge enhanced Mr. Perez on. One, the sentencing judge found that Mr. Perez was a leader and organizer of a group or conspiracy to produce identification documents. This was a group of individuals who produced Social Security cards, green cards, in a mall area in the Chicago area. And Mr. Perez was allegedly the leader of that group. Secondly, the court found that Mr. Perez was involved in the production of significantly more than 100 documents, and he was enhanced as a result of that 9 levels on his base offense level. And finally, Mr. Perez was found to have obstructed justice and was enhanced 2 levels. Regarding the first issue, the leader or organizer, 3B1.C provides that a person can be determined to be a leader or organizer if that person is involved in 5 or more individuals. And that section of the guidelines also gives us factors that the court would consider, although the court is not bound to go through each factor.
Well, that may be the key here. I mean, this is clear error review.
Yes.
He's in there in this indictment with 8 people, and he, you know, I think you're right. The district judge didn't name the other people person by person, but the record shows who these other folks are, and it seems to me as long as it's in there in the record, we have not required district judges to give tremendously detailed explanations.
We cite the Pagan case where this court decided that there wasn't sufficient evidence to show that one of the defendants was an organizing leader in that case.
Right, but I mean, all these cases are fact-specific, and we do have other facts in this case, not to mention the testimony that the co-defendants are referring to him as El Jefe and so on.
Yes. What I was about to mention, Judge, was that in the Pagan case, there were multiple defendants, but in that case, this court decided that there still wasn't sufficient evidence. And one of the things that was missing was that there was nothing on the record to show where in the Pagan case that there were 5 individuals that had been basically put on the record at the time of sentencing.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm just suggesting this record appears to be different. I mean, I agree with you, not every case in which multiple defendants are listed in an indictment would necessarily fit that, but since you have the names in the indictment and you have other evidence that shows what these various other people were doing, not to mention the direct evidence that they were treating Mr. Perez as at least a leader or organizer, that would be a factual basis for a district judge to come to this conclusion.
And I think that's correct, except in the Pagan case again, and I don't want to belabor the Pagan case, there were multiple defendants named in that case. There was some evidence that this particular defendant was involved in some level of management, but still there wasn't sufficient evidence. And one of the things that was missing, and the reason we cite that, is that the U.S. attorney failed to argue the five persons, five or more persons, or somehow indicate the five or more persons. So there was no record of that. And I think that's important in this case because there's clearly no record of control over five or more people. And that's because there really wasn't. There's a group of guys in the mall. They would go out recruiting or soliciting business. And, you know, a person would come and they would exchange money and the person would give them a photograph. And then they would take that photograph and the money. And Mr. Perez was one of the people that would receive it and take it to the place where it would be put into the form of a Social Security card or a green card. So he was acting kind of as a broker, I would say. And so because of those facts and the facts in Pagan, I think the court should have been required under these circumstances to indicate that because it's required under 3B1.1. So the other part of that is the sentencing judge makes it a point that Mr. Perez had his son with him, and he thought that that was a decisive factor in showing that he was a leader.
How old was his son?
I think he was 11 at the time, 11 or 12. And the fact was that they both were here illegal. They hadn't been in the country very long. The kid was not in school, so he just kind of hung around with his dad. It had nothing at all to do with leadership. But the sentencing judge cited that to suggest that leaders have the option or to bring their children to the workplace, in essence. And in this case, it's just in support of the leadership position in this case. And I think for those reasons, this part of the sentencing decision should be reversed. Moving to the obstruction of justice, this court has cautioned that when you have a co-defendant testifying on issues of obstruction, that they should be, you know, the term I would use is be looked at with caution, and I'm not sure that the court uses those exact terms, but it's very equivalent. In this case, when Mr. Rios, the co-defendant, testifies that Mr. Perez threatened him, testifies that Mr. Perez attempted to orchestrate testimony, testifies that Mr. Perez recruited him, the sentencing judge basically indicates that he didn't believe many of the things that Mr. Rios said, but he believed that for some reason that Mr. Perez orchestrated testimony. And I think that's improper. One, because Mr. Rios is a co-defendant. Secondly, the judge admits he didn't believe him. I mean, the judge challenged his
credibility. You know perfectly well there's no all or nothing rule on believing what a witness
absolutely
says. And so under the circumstances, it's very difficult for this court to say that the district court, very experienced district court judge, has made a clear error in making credibility determination as to this part of Mr. Rios' testimony.
Well, Judge, the government has the burden. I understand it's preponderance of the evidence. Mr. Menard Perez, by way of affidavit, denied these accusations. He denied threatening Mr. Rios. He denied orchestrating testimony. And he denied the other accusations. So I think the fact that he submitted affidavit, the government submitted some proper evidence related, kind of equivalent evidence, I don't think the government carried its burden in this case, especially when the court indicates that Mr. Rios' credibility was not very strong. And I believe based on that, this segment should be reversed as well. And I would reserve.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Miller?
May it please the court, Barry Miller for the United States. The first point discussed by counsel, that the Pagan case is analogous. The government pointed out in its brief, I believe at page 32, that the Pagan case was not analogous. In Pagan, the court found that there was no evidence of management or supervision. Here, we presented, and Judge Zagel found, that there was ample evidence of management and supervision, which is summarized at pages 28 and 29 of our...
Is there any reason the government didn't bother at some point just to say, and the people he supervised included at least A, B, C, D, and E?
Yes, Your Honor. We only put in evidence in the case that went to points that were an issue. There was no objection filed to that there were more than five people in the conspiracy. Everyone treated it as obvious. If you look at the initial pre-sentence report, which was adopted in the judgment, and the findings in here are adopted in the judgment, except that they're varied, it says that this was presented together with eight co-defendants or seven co-defendants as part of one conspiracy in one organization.
That but you're not saying just because it's conspiracy means he's the leader. That I think we need
no,
to be careful
no,
about.
No. I'm not saying that at all. Those are, there are two parts. One question is, were there five or more people involved? And the answer is, that was not objected to. That wasn't in dispute. Everybody agreed that that was true. The second question is, was he the leader? And pages 28 through 29 discuss all of the evidence that sets forth why he was the leader, different people testifying to that, proffers to that, culminating with the tape recording where the judge heard him referred to as leader in Spanish. So for all of those reasons, there's ample evidence of record, and the finding was proper, and no error was made, let alone a clear error, that he was the leader of the organization. And since it was never disputed, there's no question but that it was five or more people, though in this case there's also ample evidence of record that it was five or more people. Those people identify other members of the organization and themselves, and he'd taken guilty pleas from seven other people in the same case, all of which could be considered at sentencing. To talk about they were part of this organization, several identified Perez as the leader, there was nothing in dispute there, and there's nothing really in dispute before this court. As a minor factual quibble, the age of the son was not 11 or 12, it was 16 or 17, and as noted in our brief, there was evidence that he was part of the document selling ring. Judge Zagel found that it was a 50-50, that he couldn't decide whether it was more probable than not that he was part of the document selling ring, and therefore did not apply the minor enhancement, and we did not cross-appeal that finding. But this was not someone taking an 11 or 12-year-old with him for custody purposes. This was a mature teenager, if you want to call him that. As to the obstruction point, it's not just based on Rios' testimony. As we set forth in our brief at pages 38 through 40, there was also statements made by Salgado, statements that occurred before the court, which could be considered in his sentencing or plea, and as Judge Wood correctly pointed out, Judge Zagel was entitled to credit part, but not all of Rios' testimony, if that were the only evidence, but it's not the only evidence.
But this is principally the evidence from Salgado that he rented the apartment to Perez?
Not just that he rented the apartment, it's also that he was threatened by Perez, and as well as that Perez was attempting to orchestrate testimony. Page 38 at the bottom of the page, Salgado proffered that Perez told the other defendants to fix the blame on Cueto, and that he, next page, that Perez later told the other defendants to blame Popeye, and that Perez later sent word via Sanchez to blame Conde Martinez, as well as the threat. So Salgado corroborated that there was an orchestration of testimony by Perez as well as threats. And so the finding was certainly well supported in the record, and there's no basis for review by this court, or for reversal by this court. We therefore ask that the court affirm the sentence and judgment entered by the district court.
Okay, thanks. Do you have anything further, Ms. Wills?
The U.S. Attorney points out that the sentencing judge heard on the tape some reference to Mr. Perez as the leader. And the case law is real clear that the title in itself is not determinative of leadership. And I just remind the court of that. Secondly, the question of whether there is no question whether there are five or more, I think, begs the point. The government had the burden approving that it was five or more. I don't think the court, and I don't think the government is correct in saying that, well, you know, there were five or more indicted, there were five or more pled guilty. I don't think that's sufficient. I think the government has to carry its burden, and we take the position that on this particular factor, the government did not carry the burden. And when we consider all the other factors, the decision-making authority, those that are outlined in 3B1.1, in this decision, the sentencing judge fell short. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. I understand you were court appointed, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we thank you for taking the appointment and your work on behalf of your client. This case will be taken under advisement.